Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action tonight, hosting the Edmonton Oilers. Puck drop at 7 o'clock and pregame coverage starting right here on 102.5, The Game, at 6 p.m. Well, it was a wild weekend of college football. Friday night, Colorado up 29-0. They lose in double overtime to Stanford. Crazy.
That was crazy.
Crazy. Arkansas scoring 15 unanswered against Alabama in the second half, and then it was ultimately decided by a field goal. Crazy. And also crazy, the first win under Josh Heupel scoring less than 30 points in Josh Heupel's 5.5-year career as a head coach in college football. And joining us now to break it all down is Mitch Light of The Athletic. Mitch, Tennessee was able to find a win a game by playing really good defense and running the football, which, as we all know, is Josh Heupel's specialty. Is that how Tennessee is going to have to win games this season?
Yeah, I didn't know Les Miles had taken over in charge of the Tennessee program.
And just give me some flashbacks.
Yeah.
Not good ones, I might add. Not good ones.
Okay, you know, national championship, I guess, you know, but that's another topic for another day.
More like 2015, yeah. Les Miles.
It was a weird game, like, and as I've explained to you guys, I think, on many occasions, like, my Saturdays, I'm working, I'm watching games, so I'm watching games, but I might get pulled away for a minute to do some work, edit a story, and it was, like, in the middle of the Tennessee game, and I had it on my laptop, and I was working, and every time I'd look up, Texas A&M seemingly was, like, making a big play, or, like, good things seemed to be keep happening for Texas A&M, and then I'd look at the score, and it wouldn't change. So it seemed like a weird game. But, yes, it's very – I mean, I'm sure it's not the way Tennessee fans want to win the game. It's not the way Josh Heupel wants to win the game. But it's kind of a good thing. It's you're not a one-trick pony. You're not one-dimensional. So it shows you can do things. If the game gets ugly, you can win that way. So, you know, of course they would like to be more explosive on offense. They would like to be better. You know, I think we talked last week. They're down a yard per play on average from last year, which is a lot. So, sure, that's their biggest worry right now. But you can also half glass half full. Look, hey, that's a very good defense. They did just enough to win, and they made the plays to win the game. So, yeah, it was just a weird, crazy, whatever word. It was a weird Tennessee game.
I'll take a page out of Mike Vrabel's playbook and say that it wasn't pretty, but it was beautiful. And it made me feel more confident about this Tennessee team because I'm thinking, okay, you found a different way to win a football game against a good Texas A&M team. But, Mitch, I'm out on Joe Milton. I thought that Tennessee won in spite of Joe Milton on Saturday night. Can they beat Alabama this weekend if Joe Milton plays how he did against A&M?
No, I don't think so. They will need him at his best, and that's part of the problem. He's inconsistent. Mm-hmm. You know, coaches say you expect him to say all the right things over the summer. You know, this was clearly this was Joe Milton's team, and he was ready, and they were ready to hand the keys off over to him. And you don't never know if that's just coach speak or if they really felt that. But that was the message from the program. And I don't think they're going to deviate from that. I would be surprised if, you know, they made a move at any point. I think at this point in his career, he is what he is. At his best, he's good enough for them to beat a lot of teams, maybe any team on their schedule. But we just have not seen his best on a consistent basis. And that's going to be troublesome because they've got a lot of teams they're playing that they might be favored over against, but that can easily beat them if Joe Milton does not play well.
Now, Mitch, I mean, USC. Coming into the season, this team was one of the top-ranked teams, and they had what many thought was going to be the back-to-back winner in the Heisman Trophy. Well, this weekend against Notre Dame, he looked far from a Heisman Trophy winner, throwing three interceptions all in the first half, and that team basically got manhandled by Notre Dame. Have we seen the last of SC? Because they do have to get into their conference as far as, you know, I don't think they haven't played Washington yet or Washington State. They haven't played Oregon yet. So these teams that they still have to play with your quarterback not playing as well, what do you see this SC team?
Yeah, that's the troubling part, Derek, is this was this up to Notre Dame, that was the soft part of the schedule, and their defense had been so bad. And then they played well enough to win that game, probably defensively. They just did not play well offensively. And it was the first time since he's been at USC that Caleb Williams did not play well I don't know if the defensive issues are finally getting to him and they feel like they have to do too much. Sometimes I think a quarterback, not that I've ever played the position, but can, like, if you have so much success and you improvise so well, things kind of come easy for you, and maybe you think you can get away with certain things, and they played a very good defense and they couldn't get away with it. I mean, their upcoming schedule is Utah, and they have matched up very poorly against Utah. That is like the antidote for that program, like physical at the line of scrimmage. Don't beat themselves. They beat them twice. Utah beat them twice last year. Then they get Cal, who's not very good, but then Washington, Oregon, UCLA. Like right now, I would say this is a 9-3 team at best, unless they show vast improvement on defense, and then obviously Caleb Williams can return to form. So, yeah, I think it was one of those teams, Derek, we all thought that they weren't the best team in the Pac-12, but you kind of gave them the benefit of the doubt because they kept winning, but they were kind of exposed on Saturday night.
Now, you know, looking at the beginning of the season, Shedeur Sanders started off on a hot streak. Caleb Williams started off on a hot streak. And the guy that was sort of forgotten is Washington's quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. Do you think he's the leading candidate for the Heisman Trophy this year?
Yeah, no doubt.
Do you think his team's the best team in the Pac-12?
I don't know. I'll go to the second part first. You could watch that game and think, you know, Oregon was better. Or just as good. I mean, evenly matched, but statistically it was evenly matched. The game is at Washington. I'd love for those two teams to play again in Las Vegas there. So, you know, right now they're in the driver's seat to win the regular season title. I mean, even if that's a thing, you know, it's because we only care about who wins the championship game there. But the fact that they already beat Oregon gives them a leg up, obviously. But, yeah, I think he is – it's hard to say overwhelming now because there's still a lot of the season, but the fact that that not only did USC lose, but the Caleb Williams didn't play. Penix got every vote in the Athletic straw poll we do every week. I think we have 34 voters, and he got every vote in there. So I think he is he's in command. I mean, everyone watched that game. We saw the viewership numbers. He is such a the left-handed, whatever it is, the ball just comes out of his hand perfectly, and he has an elite group of wide receivers, so I do not see them slowing down on offense. They might lose a game, but they're going to keep putting up big numbers on offense.
Mitch Light is with us from The Athletic, talking college football as we do every week at this time. Mitch, Georgia came through here, and obviously they paid a price winning the game. A tough loss with Brock Bowers, who is really the guy that makes their offense more special than maybe it would be. I've never been blown away by their scheme or anything. They just seem to have very talented players. What do they look like going forward the next several weeks without him?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch. You're right. Like, it's just he gave them a different element. And he was like kind of their safety blanket. We saw that in the Auburn game. You know, when they needed, he's always open. He's difficult to tackle. Now, they've got other tight ends that they like. Oscar Delp. Lawson Lucky was a freshman who actually had the same surgery that he's having over the summer. But the reason he's unique, he's the best. So I expect we'll see them be a little bit more conventional. I think it's Carson Beck is playing well. If this were earlier in the year and Carson Beck had kind of, like, before the Kentucky game and had yet to kind of show that he could consistently run this offense and, you know, produce at a high level, there'd be a higher level of concern. So I would say it's not ideal for Georgia, but they, among, you know, teams in the country, they're one of the teams that's built to absorb a loss like this. I just, from a fan of the sport, I love watching him play because they do so many fun things with him. And I saw some criticism, like, why are you running him on a reverse, you know, against Vanderbilt in that game that you were in the lead? But you can't coach football like that, in my opinion. You got to run your offense. You got to do the things you're going to do. And if you run your team not to have injuries, not the way I would run my team.
What is your thought on Beck? One of the things with Stetson Bennett that we admired at the end of the year, mm-hmm. when he had to play well against the great teams, he played well.
Derek's quarterback.
I do wonder what Beck looks like in those situations. If Georgia is going to three-peat, he's got to rise to the occasion. I'll be honest, I have not been blown away with what I've seen with him.
Yeah, the thing about he has faced adversity maybe once this year, the South Carolina game at home. And he played a great second half. Now, Auburn game was tight, but I think, you know, Auburn's offense is so bad that they never probably you got the feeling you were going to lose that game. But there was some adversity in that South Carolina game. So, you know, he's a first-year starter. I get it. The thing that Bennett did, you know, He could beat you with his legs. And how many times you see him pick up a third and 12? You just scramble it around. Beck's not that type of guy. I think it's a fair assessment. Really, he is a very good quarterback. He's yet to prove he's a great quarterback. He'll have an opportunity to prove he's a great quarterback, and he's got a great supporting cast. They do have a new system this year with, you know, Mike Bobo as the offensive coordinator. So that's something to watch. He has never been the most popular offensive coordinator, no matter where he's been there. But that's the one reason why 2-3 weeks ago, when some people were kind of maybe putting Michigan atop their poll or looking for reasons not to put Georgia, is because, you know, they got a quarterback that we haven't seen done it yet. And that's what makes this fun. He's going to have plenty of time to prove himself down the stretch.
Let's give you the same kind of outlook for Alabama. They, you know, we've covered the Tennessee part of this. Alabama has looked way more human than they have in a long, long time. And they've got a new quarterback, and here's a huge test for him in a game that they've got to win. So where do you think they are? They look kind of shaky last week.
Yeah, well, they were so dominant for two quarters. I don't think Arkansas got a first down over a two-quarter stretch. They could not do anything right. It looked like Alabama was going to just win one of those 24-6, 30-6 games, and there was a face mask penalty. Then, you know, K.J. Jefferson's kind of a veteran quarterback, and we've seen him get hot before. I think he did it 2 years ago against Alabama, brought them back there. So they made the plays when they needed to make, and I think kind of you said it there. They've been a little shaky. It's not an elite team. They don't. You look at their position group by position group and compare it to recent years, and I don't know where you would say on offense that they're better than they've been at any spot over the last 3 years. I do think Milroe's getting better, getting a little bit more confident, staying in the pocket a little bit more. They got some good production from the running game there. So it's a good Alabama team, but it's far from elite, and that kind of what makes. I think any team, if Alabama wins the West this year, I think all those other teams, especially at Texas A&M, they're going to be kicking. They might look in 2 or 3 years like that was the year we needed to get Alabama, and none of those teams are good enough this year to do it, because I think, you know, I'm not subscribing to the theory that they're on their way down or anything. I think they're going to be better next year, but they are vulnerable this year, and, you know, Tennessee has an opportunity. A&M had an opportunity, but they couldn't get it done.
Okay, so all that being said, how do you like Tennessee's chances down there?
I like Alabama. I think that the offensive inconsistencies, and I don't trust Joe Milton not to make the big mistake or the bad throw. I think turnovers will be the difference in this game. I think Alabama can get a lead and be a little more conservative, and I think the Alabama defense will be able to turn over Joe Milton a little bit. They're pretty good at the cornerback position in Alabama, so I think that will be the difference.
I do worry about Jalen Milroe. I mean, that Tennessee defensive front, like, yeah. I don't think I truly realized just how good and stout it was until I saw them get all over Max Johnson all night long in Neyland Stadium. Now, with that being said, it's in Neyland, and I think Tennessee over 2.5 years has shown that they are a better team at home than they are on the road. But, this Alabama offensive line stinks. I think this Tennessee defensive line is at least going to eat, but I'm with you. I think that that Alabama takes it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. It's always a fun game, and, you know, the revenge, whatever you want to say, the rematch. But it's a big spot for two quarterbacks who are at very different stages of their career. What, you know, one fifth year, I would get, is Milton fifth or sixth year, whatever. He's been around.
Sixth year,
young quarterback who will, you know, and hey, we don't even know if Milroe's going to be the quarterback next year, 2 years. Like, is he a stopgap? You know, is Julian Sain, the number one quarterback in the country, going to start as a true freshman? Who knows? So we haven't really seen too many Alabama quarterbacks get beat out. I mean, Jalen Hurts, I guess, you know, got beat out. But sort of like once you win that job at Alabama, you're the guy there. So that'll be something to watch, too, for the rest of the year.
Mitch Light of The Athletic is with us. Mitch, I was having this conversation this morning with some fellow college football nerds. And we came to the realization that there is really only one Heisman-caliber player in the SEC this season, and that's Jaden Daniels. And if LSU loses another game, I mean, it's a long shot now with two losses, and if LSU loses another game, that very well could disqualify him from being in New York City. Now, that I don't agree with that necessarily, but it is what it is. It just feels very strange to be in an SEC this season, that I think we know that it's kind of an off year, a weird year for the SEC. But to not have a true emergent Heisman Trophy caliber player, whether that's at Alabama or anywhere else, it feels very, very strange that it's like the Pac-12 party this season.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Brock Bowers was a guy, you know, we have our poll every week, like I mentioned, The Athletic. I had voted for Bowers second last week, but obviously dropped him out of my poll this week. I put in Jaden Daniels was number two for me this week. I will, you know, continue to monitor. You got to, I don't think, I didn't realize until I really dove in how good he was statistically. I mean, watching him play, I know he's very good, but he's been great. So that is something to watch, the Daniels thing. Just continue to monitor, obviously. If something happens with Penix, if they lose a game or whatever, he is, you know, like you said, he is pretty much the SEC's only hope right now. Would another loss kill his chances? Probably. I don't necessarily think that's fair, like you mentioned, but that's just kind of where the poll always goes. That's the way the voters go.
Colorado drops a game Friday night, and that was one of the craziest games that I've watched this season. With the losses, is the Deion phenomenon over?
I don't think so. Where was I? Was this on Talk Radio? I forgot where I was on a podcast. I thought this was an apt comparison, and I don't know, Caroline. I don't know if I should say this. You might be too young to remember this, but compared Deion this to Lynn Sanity when Jeremy Lin.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy Lin, the shooting star, the comet through the sky.
Yeah, that stretch with the Knicks where he was like the talk of. And because he was an international player, like almost the talk of the sporting world. So I think Deion has more staying power than Jeremy Lin. He will always be a fascinating subject just because he's Deion, and we've watched him play and watched him coach. Now, I think none of this was a big surprise, the fact that they were going to hit some speed bumps. But the fact that they lose a 29-0 lead to a bad Stanford team. And now, you know, we can start looking at Deion as the coach. We don't just have to praise him and say he's overachieved. If he made coaching mistakes, if he's taking the ball at the start of the overtime, when that's a questionable strategy, like we can question him as a coach now, which is kind of fun. Like it's not just the blanket statements, oh, what a great recruiter, or what this and this. Like he's coaching.
You don't believe.
That's fighting for a ball. And if he makes a mistake, we can call him out on that. Not that he cares what we think. But we can sort of like treat them like a real team now. But look at their schedule. It is going to be a struggle to get to a bowl game even after that start.
Now, what do you think of Norvell's Florida State Seminoles? I mean, they're, 5-0, 6-0 right now? They had two tough games, Boston College and Clemson, and those were both back-to-back. And many say Clemson should have won that game, but they pulled it out. But what do you think of this Florida State team?
Yeah, slightly overrated, just very slightly. I think because they looked so good in that second half against LSU, and they can look, you know, with Jordan Travis, who keeps getting banged up. I know he got banged up again there, and, you know, Keon Coleman's made some highlight reel catches there. So I think we kind of all fell in love with him a little bit. But, you know, it survived in advance. The Boston College game was a little too close. But, you know, hey, when you've beaten LSU and you've won at Clemson, you know, when you get to this stage – you're just kind of poking holes in teams. So, you're looking for a weakness. So, you know, I'm looking at their schedule. They get Duke at home this week, and I don't think Riley Leonard's going to play, but their schedule is not that intimidating. You know, they go to Wake Forest, who's struggling. They go to Pitt, who's struggling. They get Miami at home, and they at Florida. So, right now, and I know the odds makers probably have this, they are in very good position to, you know, make the college football playoffs. They don't play North Carolina in the regular season, and North Carolina has been playing very well, and that will be the best, you know, quarterback. They also face Jaden Daniels there. So I would love to see an undefeated North Carolina and undefeated Florida State play for the ACC championship, and obviously the winner of that game would be headed to the playoffs.
Last one from me, Mitch. If Tennessee can beat Alabama this weekend, how will that make you feel about Tennessee's ability to potentially run the table and win the SEC East?
Well, I think any team that can win at Alabama can win anywhere. You know, that's what we were saying about Texas to start the season. And, like, is for their college football playoff resume. Very few teams are going to have a win better than at Alabama. And then if Tennessee does that, they will too have a win at Alabama. If you can win at Alabama, you know, looking at their schedule, Kentucky struggling the last few weeks, you know, Georgia obviously coming to Neyland. If Tennessee has one loss and Georgia's undefeated, that would be, you know, game of the century. It would pass, you know, last year's game at Georgia and the Alabama game. So it's just, you know, talking about how we had such high such a favorable impression of Florida State because they look so good against LSU. We have such a negative impression of Tennessee because how bad they looked against Florida. We got to figure out if it's time to reassess and be like, hey, you know what? They looked bad that one game. They played really poorly. But look who they've beaten. Look what they have. You cannot eliminate them from a college football playoff discussion if they win this week. And I don't think any of us thought we'd be saying that when they came back from Gainesville.
So true. I thought once they lost to Florida, I was like, all right, Tennessee's done. Let's move on to the next. But Mitch Leiter at The Athletic, appreciate you for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
All right. Take care, guys. See ya.
Awesome. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it. All right. I have a thought on Tennessee that I want to get into coming up next. Some good news and some not so great news as far as Vols fans are concerned. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.